We're continuing our series in the summer. There's no Sunday school over the summer, so the children are doing a great job in sitting in through the service, and Miriam has done a great job in preparing relevant worksheets for them, so they've got crosswords and colouring ins that are relevant to the same message that we are going to be thinking out about this morning. We've been doing a series over the summer called Secrets of the Kingdom of Heaven. And Jesus spoke a lot of things. He did much of his teaching in parables. And these were to hide things from people without eyes to see, who were close to his teaching, to close to the things of God. And these stories have hidden meanings for those who are open, who have their eyes open to the kingdom of God and recognize Jesus as king. So the parable that we've come to this morning is the parable that's commonly called the prodigal son. But this morning I want to think of it as the parable of the two lost sons. It's usually the one prodigal son that we think of, the baddie that goes off and spends all the money. But really, when we read Jesus' story, when we read his teaching, the story is as much about the older son who stayed at home as it is about the younger son. So I was thinking this week about what I could say this morning. Really, the phrase that kept coming to my mind was, life is short. There are few things that really matter. And one of those things are relationships. And the most precious relationships are within families. We all feel the loss of Gary as a friend, but we know that the hardest loss is for Gary's family. His family feels the greatest loss because these are the strongest, the deepest relationships that we have. And in the Bible passage we're about to read, Jesus uses family relationships between a father and a son as a picture of what relationship with God is like. At this time of grieving our separation from Gary, I want to ask you, how is your relationship with God? The story we're going to look at doesn't sugarcoat relationships. They're not all pleasant and nice. This story deals with genuine father-son relations. But I want you to see that there is nothing more comforting, nothing more secure than knowing your God as your compassionate father. Gary had this relationship with God, and it's a relationship that's not interrupted by death. Gary is currently, eternally, with his heavenly father. So turn with me to Luke chapter 15. The story Jesus told is recorded in Luke's Gospel in chapter 15. The context we have here is that Jesus is really talking to two types of people. Two types of people are gathering around him. Firstly, the tax collectors and the sinners. These we might think of as the lowest, the most despised of society. These were Jews who had sold out and were working for the Romans. They were undesirables. There were prostitutes, homeless, crippled, and disabled. People who were despised. These were the people that were gathering around Jesus. And the second group were looking on and grumbling and disapproving. They were the Pharisees, the teachers of the religious law. They were the highest in a society steeped in religion. And I hope that these two extreme examples of people surrounding Jesus will help you to change your perspective on what relationship with God looks like. As we have seen in this series, the kingdom of heaven is really an upside-down kingdom. It reverses the values we naturally have. And so if you're here this morning and you don't usually go to church, I hope that you see that God values relationship over observance. He goes to incredible lengths to break down any barriers between you and God. Or if, like me, you're a regular here, or to church, I want to challenge myself and I want to challenge you. Do you have an entitled attitude to God? like this is exclusively our space. No, instead, I want you to recognize how undeserving we all are, and also to celebrate with God the incredible compassion God has for us all and his desire to relate to everyone. So let's read chapter 15 of Luke, and I'll just read the first two verses and then jump down to 11. Luke 15, verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And down to verse 11, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the young son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And so they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come home,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You never even gave me a goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Let's pray. Our Father God, we acknowledge you as the Creator, as the Almighty God over everything. But we pray that even in these thoughts now, that we might recognize you as the compassionate Heavenly Father who desires relationship with us. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we've learned before, a parable is a story with a hidden meaning. And so we can look at the different characters in this story that we're thinking about. The father, he stands or represents God. The younger son, well, we've already said, stands for those tax collectors and sinners. Or by extension, that could mean anyone who has a broken relationship with God. And then we have the older son. These represent the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the religious establishment. These are religious, morally upright people. And the other thing we should understand is the idea of inheritance. At this time, the older son would have received a double portion of the inheritance. And so when the son asks for his inheritance before the father dies, the older son would have received a double portion. But that would also carry the obligation to care for the remaining elderly parents and generally lead the family affairs. And this explains why the older son felt the duty to remain at home and why he was so angry with the father. This extravagant welcome that the father gave to his younger brother, well, it came out of his inheritance. And so this morning, I just want to think about the relationships that both sons had with their father, and then the father's response to each one of those. So the younger son, what kind of relationship did he have with his father? Well, he starts off with a blatant disregard for him, doesn't he? I actually want your inheritance. Before you die, I want my inheritance now. He's self-sufficient, isn't he? He got together all he had when he got what he wanted, and he set off. He left home, left everyone behind, and he went and squandered his wealth. He lived for pleasure, for himself, with no regard for anyone else. But then a crisis came, didn't it? He had spent everything, and then there was a famine. And the only job he could get was to feed pigs. And in a Jewish context, that would have been incredibly shameful and prohibited. And it's at this rock bottom point that this younger son comes to his senses. He goes from, give me what I want, give me what is mine so I can spend it on myself, to now he gets to the point where he says, I have sinned against heaven and against earth, and I don't deserve to be included in your family anymore. The younger son turns out to want to be a servant. He is a son, but he doesn't recognize himself even as that. He wants to be a servant. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your servants. He is humble and remorseful. He no longer presumes the father will want anything to do with him. But what about the older son? What about his relationship with the father? Well, on the face of it, I mean, he received his inheritance. What did he do with it? He dutifully remained to care for his parents. But when his son came home, what's revealed is that this older son is angry and resentful towards his father. Look, he says, all these years I've been slaving for you, never disobeyed your orders, yet you never even gave me a young goat. And when this son of yours, he doesn't even want to be in the same family as his brother, who's squandered all of your wealth, you go and welcome him. This older brother, he's self-righteous. He has the moral high ground. Look at all I have done for you, Father. I've obeyed all your orders, but you've not treated me as I deserve. And instead, you waste my inheritance on my worthless brother. Although this older son is a son, he feels like a servant. He sees all the duties and responsibilities as slaving for the Father. He's self-righteous about his own life, and he's angry about his father's compassion. He disdains his undeserving brother, and there's no relationship of love between the older son and the father. So both of their sons have a broken relationship with their father. But let's look at how the father responds to both of his sons. And the father's response to the younger son takes up the first half of this parable, and he responds in three ways. He responds with generous freedom. He responds with undignified compassion and extravagant joy. Firstly, the father responds with generous freedom. Well, how does the father respond when his son comes to him and says, give me what I'm due after you die? He doesn't stop him. He doesn't force him to stay. No, the father is generous and he gives him his inheritance and he lets him off in freedom to go and squander it, to spend it as he wants. And I think what this means is that actually the reality is this is how God treats every single one of us. He has given us all the gift of life, even if we are ungrateful or don't recognize him in that. He continues to give more comforts and gifts to us all. God is generous. He's generous in the freedom he gives us. But then how does the father respond when he sees his son coming home? He responds with undignified compassion. This is what Jesus wants you to see in these verses. This is what God is like with you. The father was looking for his boy. When he caught sight of him in the distance, did he wait to hear his groveling apology? Was he cold and distant? No. He ran to him. He hugged him. He kissed him. For an elderly man to run in that culture would have been so undignified. The father's welcome seems shocking, considering the shame the family would have felt because of his son's behavior. But all of those barriers are broken down by the father's heart for his son. Yes, this son of mine has disregarded me. He's abandoned me. He's shamed me. He has cost me dearly. But in the father's heart, all of that is nothing compared to having his son back home. The father's longing to restore the broken relationships with his precious son overrides all other feelings. And this is how Jesus wants the Pharisees to think about God. The truth is, I am like that younger son. I have disgraced God as my heavenly father. I accept his generous inheritance to me. But when God encroaches on my self-centered desires for myself, I so often choose myself over relationship with God. And we all, don't we, eventually come to a time of crisis in our lives. This young man found himself hungry, alone, feeding pigs. And I know as a young man, I came to that point where nothing I did could fulfill my longing for a relationship with God. I knew I was distant from him, and no distraction this world could offer could replace the security of being with my Heavenly Father. I know Gary also came to that point of realization that he was lost and that where he belonged was with his Heavenly Father. I wonder if you have felt the same tug in your heart from the Father, come home to me. The father responded to this son with undignified compassion. He humbled himself. He ran towards his son. And in the same way, Jesus humbled himself, stepping down from heaven into humanity to live like us, to die for us. He was willing to endure suffering and shame and the pain of execution on your behalf. And this is the beauty of the gospel. That Jesus Christ has sacrificed himself so that you can be welcomed into relationship with the Father. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. So will you come to the Father as the younger son did? Not full of your own righteousness, but empty, humbly in repentance of your sin, trusting that in Jesus, all of your guilt is removed. And so the Father will welcome you, will delight in you as his own son. You will enter a never-ending relationship with your Creator God, your Father. And so that brings us on to the final response of the Father. his extravagant joy. Before the son could say anything, the father had kissed him. Before he could finish his prepared speech, the father calls, "Quick, the best robe, bring it. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." This is what the forgiveness of God looks like. The shame the son feels for how he has lived is covered by the best robe the father has. This prodigal who just wanted to be a servant is given a ring of sonship. The boy who came home hungry has the best meal prepared for him. The son who ended up alone returns to be the center of a lavish banquet. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. But all this extravagant joy and extravagant expense, it came at a cost. Whose cost? Well, it came out of the older son's inheritance. And that is why the older son responded in anger and resentment towards how his father was lavishing his inheritance on his worthless brother. How did the father respond to the older brother who refused to go in to feast? Well, the father similarly goes out to him. He goes out and appeals to him. Here Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. And by extension, any of us who think that people should only get what they deserve. The father appeals to his older son. "I know this is costly for you. I know that your brother does not deserve this. I know the shame that we have endured to welcome your brother home. All of that matters, but we had to celebrate. The restored relationship with my son is so much more valuable to me than the cost of a banquet, or getting my own back, or even my own dignity." The father counts the cost, but sees the joy of restored relationship with his son as far more valuable. And so he had to celebrate. And this is the gospel on display for the Pharisees. He wanted them to understand how much God desires relationship with people. God delights in repentance when we seek him like that younger brother. And he doesn't delight in religious efforts to reach him. God has always been like this. In Psalm 51, the song of repentance, as it were, God does not delight in sacrifice, but he does delight. He never despises a broken heart and a contrite spirit. So in conclusion, life is short. How is your relationship with God the Father today? Wherever you find yourself, he is waiting for you like a compassionate father. He has gone to great shame and expense to deal with your guilt, to welcome you as a son with joy. Will you come to him? Or are you like the morally upright brother, the older brother? Remember, it's not dutiful outward observance that delights God. But when a broken relationship with God is restored, this is the extravagant joy of heaven. This is the gospel. Will you join with the Father in seeking and celebrating that kind of restoration? Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you came to this earth humbly as a man. And we thank you that you have pointed us, you have made a way, you have broken every barrier down to make a way possible for us to have a relationship with the Heavenly Father who loves us and who seeks us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have died on the cross to take away our guilt and to open that way And so we seek you now, Lord Jesus. We seek you, Heavenly Father. And we pray, Lord, that even in this time of grief and grieving lost relationships, that we would seek that which is lasting. And we look forward to the day that we will see Gary again. And we thank you that it is through the Lord Jesus, through the relationship with the Heavenly Father, that this is possible. So we ask for your blessing on the rest of this day, and we pray you would go with us. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'll...